the first time.
والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي وانفعني بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعني وزدنا يا رب العالمين. If everyone can move closer, inshallah ta'ala. I know there's not a lot of people here as of yet, but inshallah, if we just move closer to fulfill the sunnah of the gathering, if everyone sits close to one another, inshallah ta'ala. Let's not leave spaces for shaitan. Shaitan's not locked up yet. That's only Ramadan. So inshallah ta'ala. If we come closer now, I'll feel much better. I'm not feeling the best today. I'm a good man. Love word, inshallah. If you get these gaps filled, inshallah, that'd be great. The hipskids, inshallah, move over, slide over, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us to be here. We thank Allah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever preparation we've been doing in Sha'ban and in anticipation of Ramadan, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us and make it easy for us to continue preparing. And Allah will make this preparation a means of finding success within Ramadan. We find that the more you prepare, the more you're ready for something. And so the more you have preparation for an exam, the more confident you feel when you're taking the test. Similarly, what happens when a person prepares in Sha'ban, they'll find that the month of Ramadan becomes much easier for themselves. If you were fasted today, and today was the first day you fasted within Sha'ban, you'll find that, that if you were to try to fast tomorrow, it becomes exceptionally easier. You feel like it was nothing at all. And that's what you'll see as well. So may Allah make it easier for all of us, inshallah ta'ala. Amin ya Rabbal Alameen. So inshallah, we will discuss about this very, very critical and crucial topic, which is the topic of the gateway to Jannah and the preparation for Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. So when it comes to the goals, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? All those who believe fasting has been prescribed upon you all, like has been kurkum tattaqun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the goal there. So what is the goal of fasting? And this is the thing that everyone misses out on. When you are looking for something, when you're outside and you're searching, but if you know what you're looking for, it makes things infinitely, exponentially easier to find what you need to find. If you go out somewhere into like some barren land or some desert and you don't know what you're looking for, what you're trying to find, if someone says there's a signpost somewhere or something like that, you don't know what you're looking for, life becomes very difficult. For example, like if you are searching for someone, if you know where they are, it's easier to find. If you just know they're in some general area, you get really confused. And if you're like, oh, it's in the entire city, now you're like, oh, I don't know what to do anymore. So similarly, what happens is when we all enter Ramadan, the reason I'm mentioning this is because of this, that we all enter Ramadan, we all have these all different ideas about what we're supposed to do in Ramadan. Everyone, some people are like, oh, this is a great time to diet. What some people do, they say, it's a great time to diet. If I can fast for 30 days, I'll lose weight. This is a good, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but is it the right thing, right? Some people come into Ramadan thinking, oh, wow, I can eat some pakora, this is great. Food in masjid is great. I come for that intention. Some people tell themselves, okay, I can stand for tarawih. And, you know, I can just stand for some time and listen to some Quran. And some people come with this intention. Some people come with this intention. Some people even feel like it's a burden that I have to be going through this month. And so if you are coming in, and this is the thing I want to make clear, inshallah ta'ala. This talk for you guys are, mashallah, more of the regular satis here. I'll make it very clear for you guys. You guys I can speak a little stronger with, okay? If you are coming to Ramadan with any other intention, if you are coming with this intention, this intention, this intention, you're going to find that your entire Ramadan will be wasted. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, come in, even laysa min siyami illa dhamma. Many of those who fast, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, many of those who fast, they find nothing from their fasting except for thirst and hunger. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, well, and many people stand in the night for tahajjud and ibadah and qiyamul layl. They stand for worship in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but because their intentions are not there, the Prophet said they receive nothing from their standing except for staying awake at night. The Prophet made it very clear that people will fast in the month of Ramadan but obtain nothing because of it. And so we don't want to be those people. We want to be the people that Allah ta'ala says in the Quran, la'allakum tattaqun. What is the purpose of Ramadan? What is the goal here? What am I looking for in Ramadan? What is my objective here? The objective is, I have to tell myself, I have a miserable heart. I have a disgusting, diseased heart. My heart is full of diseases. It is lazy. It is full of lust. It's full of greed. It's full of anxiety. It's full of depression. It's full of all these different things. I don't like to pray.
I don't like to fast. I don't like to stand in front of Allah. I don't like to read Quran. I don't like to do zikr. I don't have this. I don't have this. I don't, if Allah tells me to do something, sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other. I have to tell myself, honestly, I have a problem. If you tell yourself, I have these problems, and you come in with this mind, what are we supposed to say in the beginning of Ramadan? Ya Allah, I have this problem that I do not care when you command me to do something. And that's why I'm here. I'm here in Ramadan because you told me the Quran, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that if you were to fast Ramadan properly, Allah says you will start to care about the deen again. You'll start to love Islam again. You'll start to love to pray again. You'll love to give sadaqah again. Mind you not, you know, if I were to tell you now, you know, even thinking about Ramadan, you know, one non-Muslim comes to a Muslim and says, I don't know how you guys fast for 30 days. And the Muslim replies to him and says, yeah, I don't know how we do it either. You know, it doesn't make any sense. You think about it. If you were to tell yourself anywhere else in the year, would you fast 30 days? Could you ever do so? No, Allah Ta'ala makes it easy because why? Because in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala tells us Ramadan's purpose is that I will make everything easy for you. Fasting becomes easy. Sadaqah becomes easy. Quran becomes easy. Ibadah comes easy because why? Because Allah says, I will lower the bar for everyone. The lowering the bar for everyone is what? Allah SWT says, hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ says, in Ramadan, Allah closes the gates of Jahannam. Jahannam gates are closed. And Allah SWT opens up the gates of Jannah. All the gates of Jannah are open for everyone. And what does Allah tell? For the preparation of Ramadan, for the preparation and anticipation of Ramadan, Allah starts to beautify Ramadan for the believers. If anyone were to die in Ramadan, what do they find? You know, it's amazing. If I had a guest coming, I would. If you're coming, I would probably prepare by maybe Zuhr time. The food will start to get ready. The biryani will be cooked. And all this mehmandari, and everyone's getting hungry. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. But if any case, you start to think, and you're like, okay, a guest is coming. Zuhr time makes sense. We all get ready for the thing, right? And then the guests come in. They're like, wow, look at this amazing feast and everything like that. What does Allah do from Ramadan to Ramadan? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how long does He prepare? It says that year after year, from Ramadan till the next Ramadan, Allah is preparing the gardens in Jannah for the believers. Meaning 1 year in advance, Allah is preparing people to enter into Jannah. Allah says, I want to make sure everything is perfect in Jannah for them. وَيُدْخِلُهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ. This is an amazing part of the Quran. Allah says, He will enter them. He will bring you into Jannah. عَرَّفَهَا, He will make ta'rif of Jannah for you. You've never been to Jannah. None of us have been in Jannah. None of us know what Jannah is. None of us have experienced it, right? What would you know? If someone told you this is your home, you'd be like, when you enter Jannah, how much space are you going to see? The Quran says what? That the Jannah, عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. That the width of Jannah is what? From the distance of the heavens and the earth. It's enormous. How far can your eye see? You can see galaxies with this eye. If you were to look up, you would not just see constellations, stars in the sky. You'd be seeing galaxies and galaxies. You could see so far. Allah SWT says that the bare minimum Jannah that you have is the size of this universe. So now imagine if you're entering that place and now someone told you, congratulations, enter your home. You say, Ya Allah, where's my house? Give me a GPS. Give me some way to find it. Allah Ta'ala lahum in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says that when you enter Jannah, Allah says He will show you where everything is. He'll show you that this is where your house, this is where the fountain is. This is where made tasbih of me. You said, you read those, the Prophet said, you pray 12 sunnah prayers in the day regularly, 2 sunnah fajr. The 4 sunnah of dhuhr, 2 sunnah of zuhr, the sunnah that come after, 2 sunnah of maghrib, and 2 sunnah of isha. You make these prayers regularly, the Prophet says, Allah Ta'ala will build you a special house in Jannah. A special house in Jannah exclusively for you. The people in Jannah will be envious of this house. This is how amazing the house will be. Allah will say, this is the house you deserve, you earn because of that. A person will lose a child in this world. The Prophet told us that when Allah Ta'ala hears that he sends his angels to take the soul of a child who passed away in this ummah, meaning a young boy or young girl that died before the age of puberty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the angels, angels, what did you do? They say, Ya Allah, we took the soul of your servant's son. And then Allah ta'ala will say, did you take the fruit of his heart? You know, anyone who has a child will understand, lose your child at a young age. How difficult a musibah this is. Imam Suyuti rahmatullahi said, the greatest of all masayib, all the difficulties of dunya can never compare for a university graduate. This person will become a doctor. This child will become an alim, a maulana, a hafiz. You have so many expectations, completely cut. That Allah Ta'ala says to the angel and says, did you take away the fruit of his heart? The angel said, yes, Ya Allah, we took the fruit of his heart. The Allah will say to the angels, what did my servant say? What did my servant say? And the servant will say, the angel will say, Ya Allah, he said, Alhamdulillah. And he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ya Allah, we belong to you and to you. return. And ya Allah, alhamdulillah, if it was he was your property in the first place, if you take him back, that's your choice. Allah Ta'ala says, my angels, prepare for him a beautiful, prepare for my slave a beautiful house in Jannah and call it Baytul Hamd, call it a house of praiseworthiness. The same way he praised me in this world, Allah says, I will make him a praiseworthy house in Jannah that people of Jannah will look at and say, ya Allah, we wish we had that house. You will know that house. You will know which Ramadan gave you this. You will know which Hajj gave you that. You know which Salah gave you this. Allah will make you recognize everything in your Jannah. Thousands of years will go by just looking at your Jannah. Thousands of years will go by just looking at the first Hurul Ayn you see, for Allah's sake. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. MashaAllah. That's how you get an extra tree in Jannah. Just sitting down and making tasbih. A person in Ramadan will benefit when they realize that I'm not perfect. I have to tell myself there are faults with me. I have problems because I do not care when the hukum of Allah comes. How miserable, how barbad I am. I am walking on the face of Allah's earth and I'm committing sins against him. How terrible am I that I don't care to do hijab? How terrible am I that I don't care about the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? We don't care. We really don't care, because or else it would be 100% sunnah. Right? Why would we be fighting? Why would we be arguing? We come in with this miserable state. You come in with this begging state, this difficult state. If a came to your door, what would you do? You see like a patch, you know, some patches on his clothes. You see him like his hair is disheveled. He looks like he's been exhausted for some time. This man, what would you do? Would you shut the door on him? No, you would say, you know what? Let's bring him in. Let's give him something. All right, at least, you know, if you have $20, something, give him something. Even if he was faking it, you'd be like, you know what? Let's just give him something. So that way, because I feel miserable because of this. If this is how you and I feel, how about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When you come to the gates and the doors of Ramadan, in the feeling and the sadness and grief, ya Allah, I'm a miserable person. You come with this feeling in Ramadan, you'll see what Allah will do with your heart, what Allah will give for you. The Prophet ﷺ one time saw people, they were a bunch of prisoners. And there was this one woman running around frantically, moving left and right, all over the place. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he said for the Sahaba to go check on her. And finally she stopped, she grabbed a little child, and she brought the child close to her. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he understood the matter. But this lady lost her child, and she was looking for a child. And so she finally found her child and she brought the child close to her and began to feed the child. The Prophet said, oh, my Sahaba, would you like to know something nice? They said, ya Rasulullah, what is it? Said that the you see how much his mother would love this child, loves this child. Would she ever throw this child into the fire? Would she ever throw this child into the fire? The Sahaba said, ya Rasulullah, she would never throw the child into the fire. The Prophet says, Allah that has more love to you all than this mother has for a child. Allah has more love to you than this mother has for a child. The earth every day says, ya Allah, let us destroy this insan. This mankind is a terrible creation. The skies say, ya Allah, let us rain down fire from the sky. The ocean says, ya Allah, let us create hurricanes and destroy the houses and the buildings of this insan, this mankind, because of so many things they do in this world. If you're asking what are the reasons for the wars, what are the reasons for the COVID, what is the reason for the diseases, Allah Ta'ala says, sins of mankind have caused corruption to occur in the world. Because we're committing zina, because we're doing riba, because we're doing haram, that's why our life becomes miserable. This is what the reason is. Allah Ta'ala says, not me. So what do we find? That every day the earth, the heavens and the sky, they say, ya Allah, let us destroy them. Allah Ta'ala responds to every one of them and says, لَوْ خَلَقْتُمُوهُمْ لَا رَحِمْتُمُوهُمْ. If you created them, you would have loved them more. If you created them, you would have loved them more. Why did Allah give us Ramadan? Because He loved. Myself, when you come with a diseased heart, ya Allah, if you said on the tongue of your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if anyone has an atom worth of pride in his heart, he will not enter Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he told us of people who oversleep in Salah, that in their graves they'll be punished and their heads will be smashed by stones because of the fact that you oversleep. He talks about the one who memorized Quran, the ayat that he forgot, a person will be punished in the grave by the head being smashed with stones. A person who took riba in this world, the Prophet ﷺ described them, that a person would be swimming in a river, and the river would be a river of blood. And they'd always be trying to go towards the coast. And they're trying to swim towards the coast and get back onto land. And what they find is there are people on the side throwing rocks at them. So that way they stay under the water. The Prophet ﷺ was told by the angels that this is the punishment of a person in his grave. This is the punishment of a person in his grave because he took riba. The Prophet ﷺ told us about people who've been inside a huge oven, a huge furnace, And the Prophet said these people will be completely naked, and fire will come from underneath, and the fire will shoot up and slam them to the top. And this will continue to happen till the day of judgment. The Prophet was told by the angels, this is a person who commits zina, who has boyfriend, girlfriend, who texts this and that, who doesn't care about Allah's commands. This will happen to them in their grave, subhanAllah. If this is what happens in their grave, imagine what happens in Jahannam. Imagine what happens on Qiyamah. On Qiyamah, what is Qiyamah? What is Qiyamah? Ramadan is for those people who think about Qiyamah, right? La uqsimu bi yawmin Qiyamah. Allah says, I take a big swear, a big oath by the day of judgment. Idha shamsu kuwirat, when the sun will be completely wrapped up. Wa idha nujumun kadarat, the beautiful stars you see in the sky will be turned dark, complete black. Wa idha jibalu suyirat, when the mountains you see which are so firm will be sent flying. Wa idha biharu sujirat, when the oceans will be turned ablaze into fire. Right? Wa idha isharu utilat, wa idha ushu ushirat, wa idha biharu sujirat, wa idha nufusu zuwirat, when all the souls will be gathered. Wa idha ma'udatu suyirat, when the buried daughter will be asked, why were you killed? What sin were you buried for? Bi ayyi dhanbin qutilat, wa idha suhufu nushirat, when everyone scrolls and their good deeds will be opened up for everyone. When their bad deeds will be opened for everyone. وَإِذَا الْجَحِيمُ سُعِرَتْ وَإِذَا الْجَنَّةُ أُزْلِفَتْ, when Jahannam will be set ablaze, and when Jannah will be brought so close to everyone to see. عَلِمَتْ نَفْسٌ مَّا أَحْضَرَتْ, and that day everyone will know what they were doing in life. Everyone in life is thinking about, what did I leave behind? You ask yourself. And there's nothing wrong to think about what you leave behind. Everyone wants to leave behind something good for their kids. I want to leave something good for my kids. You all want to leave something good for your kids. This is normal. This is completely normal. But when you hit your grave, do you care about what you left behind? No one cares about what they leave behind. They only care what they brought with them. What did I bring forward? What did I bring ahead of me? What did I present in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because those very same kids who loved in this world, يَوْمَ يَفِرُّ الْمَرْءُ مِنْ أَخِيهِ وَأُمِّهِ وَأَبِيهِ وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَبَنِيهِ, that day a person will flee from his brother, his mother and his father, his children and his wife, everyone he will flee from. That same kid that you loved in this world, he will say, نَفْسِ نَفْسِ عَنْ قِيَامَةِ. You spent so much money on him. You bought him all the Roblox in the world. You bought him all the Minecraft in the world. You bought him all the different things. You know, you let him watch Chica Chica Boom Boom or whatever. You watch, make him all these different things. You helped him out in this world. He says, Nafsi, Nafsi, Dad, give me your ajr. Give me your ajr. Give me your hasanat. Say, yeah, this is why I spent the money on you. Is this what I did this for? And what you'll find is that your mother that loves you so much on that day says, oh, son, I have nothing to give you today. Give me what you have today. Nafsi, Nafsi on that day. Everyone will be by themselves. Ramadan is for that guy who's thinking about that day. That guy who's thinking that one day I'm walking straight up vertically today. One day I will be horizontal. Ramadan is for that guy who's thinking, that person who's thinking that one day I'll be in a grave that's only 6 feet deep and just this big of a box. That's what a person will benefit from Ramadan. That I'm thinking, ya Allah, one day I will die. And this is the last Ramadan I have. And if I think about that this is my last Ramadan, how serious we take this Ramadan? That I need to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That there's no other options for me. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, I need to get taqwa before I leave this world. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, Allah Ta'ala says that day when no children, no wealth will benefit except for the one that comes to Allah Ta'ala with a pure, pristine, perfect heart. Who has a perfect heart here? Also, you're asking me the wrong question. I play video games. I do all this. That's the thing. If you think you're perfect, this is not the place for you. Ramadan is not the month for you. No month will make you better. Because the only being who's truly perfect is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kamil is Allah. Perfect is Allah. If you're feeling miserable, if you're telling yourself that I need to be better, Ramadan will help you. If you're telling yourself I need help, Ramadan will help you. If you're coming, I'm in need, Ramadan will help you. If you say I'm weak, Allah will help you. Allah will be there for you. That's why He created Ramadan in the first place. He opened the door and He said, everyone, Jahannam is closed, Jannah is open. This is the place when Jannah is on sale. Everything in Jannah is on sale. How is it on sale? Normally you would have to, what, for you know, you do a nafl, subhanAllah, 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 subhanAllah. You sit down doing subhanAllah the entire year. Trust me, one subhanAllah in Ramadan is better than all your subhanAllahs the entire year. How so? Because the Prophet said that a single subhanAllah in Ramadan, a single nafl action in Ramadan is equal to a fard. No matter how much nafl you do, it can never equal to a fard. The two rakats you pray outside of Ramadan are regular two nafl rakats. When you pray two rakats nafl in Ramadan, what does it equal? One fard. One fard in Ramadan is equal to 70 times your other fard outside the month of Ramadan. You pray one fajr as if you prayed 70. You pray one zuhr as if you prayed 70. And then people say, but Murasab, does that mean I make 70 qaza too? I said, no, you idiot. Don't ask dumb questions. This is not how these things work. You get more, you know, that's what people do. They just want to ask dumb questions and waste the month of Ramadan. May Allah forgive us. May Allah protect us. May Allah ask us the good questions, inshallah ta'ala. What is it that you do one good deed in Ramadan, you get one extra fad. When you do nafl, you're going to get fad. When you do a fad, you're going to get 70 times. And so if you are a person who's considerate and concerned now, that's what we need to tell ourselves. And that means you start preparing from today. You start improving today. And you start telling yourselves, what can I do to maximize my Ramadan? Then you ask yourself and you tell yourself, who is the example of a person who did everything the way Allah wanted him to do it? Who is the example of a person who made sure that before he left his world, Allah was pleased with him? Who is the example of a person, a man, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that made sure that every single action of his life was mahbub, was beloved by Allah? This is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now I need to make him my standard and I need to start praying like him. I need to start worshipping like him. How long are we going to read Surat al-Mulk only during the night? People, mashallah, have been reading Surat al-Mulk for such a long time. May Allah allow us with istiqamah. May Allah allow us to read Surat al-Mulk until we die, inshallah. But the thing is that there's too much more the Prophet ﷺ used to do. The Prophet ﷺ, he encouraged everyone to recite Surat al-Waqi'ah. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, on his deathbed, when they came to him and said, Ya Ibn Mas'ud, you did not leave anything for your daughters after you died. They're going to die poor. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, I left for them Surat al-Waqi'ah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, who will recite Surat al-Waqi'ah every night, you will never become poor. Neither in the dunya nor in the akhirah. In this world, you will not become poor, and the hereafter you won't be poor. On that day, you'll find hasanat, and you'll see your sayyat, your bad deeds be gone. You find your good deeds to be huge, mashallah, because you recite the waqiyah. What did the Prophet ﷺ recite every night? Al-Imran bin Sajda. This is a regular habit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we're reciting Surat al-Mulk every night, let's make a habit now, inshallah, to start reciting Al-Imran bin Sajda as well. What does we find the Prophet ﷺ used to do? He's recite Surat al-Dukhan. Surat al-Dukhan was a very regular habit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can recite that as well. The Prophet ﷺ used to recite the Musabbihat. The Musabbihat and the surah that start with Sabbaha lillah and Sabbihisma and Yusabbihu lillah. Those surahs in the 28 juz. The Prophet ﷺ used to recite that every night. One person asked me, he said, how much was the Prophet ﷺ reciting every night? I said, on average, on a regular day, the Prophet ﷺ was reciting 2 juz, regular from his regular tilawah. That's excluding his tahajjud. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, our Ramadan, our regular Ramadan looks like one day of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One regular day of Ramadan looks like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every day. You know, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in tahajjud, how long? Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu comes. And I love this hadith. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu comes and said, I want to stand with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he stands Allahu Akbar next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah. It's like, this can't go on forever. This can't go on for too long. 1-2 pages will go, 3-4 pages will go, 5-6 pages will go. So he hears one juz go. And he's like, okay, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will finish one juz, then make ruku'. Then he hears ayah number 97, 98, 99, 100, 101, 102, 102. He says, okay. The Prophet will recite 200 ayats. After 200 ayats, the Prophet will make ruku'. He definitely will just read 200, go for ruku'. He hears 198, he's counting in his head, 199, 200. 201, 202, 203. Okay. How many ayats are in Surah Al-Baqarah? So, 286, right? 286. Okay, he'll just finish the Surah Al-Baqarah and then you go for ruku'ah. So then he waits and waits and waits and he hears, Amana Rasul wa anzilay min Rabbi wal mu'minun kullun amana billahi wal yawmil akhir wa kutiba rusuli, right? La nufarriqu bayna ahad min rusuli. Jazakallah khairan. It's been a long day. Wallahi, very long day. Jazakallah. The Prophet is reciting this dua at the end. The Prophet reads the dua. One sunnah ala al-qawm al-kafirin. Read a small little dua. Alif lam mim allahu la ilaha illa wal aduqa yu ma thura al iman is starting. At this moment, you hear this tarawih, you book it. You're out the door. You say, forget it. Eight rakats, forget it. I'm out of here. The mullah is going crazy right now. Something's wrong with him. Possessed man. Majnoon. Yeah, and then you get the Prophet reciting Ali Imran and he's going and going and going. 101, 102 ayats, and Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu is counting everything in his head. And he's like, Ya Rasulullah, he says, keep going. Finish the Ali Imran. He says, he must go for ruku now. It's been so long. And then finally, what does he hear? Surah Al-Nisa starts. SubhanAllah. What is happening here? Next surah goes, Surah Nisa. Finally, SubhanAllah, finally Surah Al-Nisa. Some riwayat mentions Ali Imran's Maida starts too. And then he goes. The Prophet finally goes to ruku. He's like, oh, finally, get some rest. You know, some relaxation for what I just went through. And so ruku is like 10 seconds of a tasbih, just quick tasbih, you know, it's all fine. He's there for a while. He's wondering, time is going. You know, if you go in ruku for a long time, you start to feel dizzy. Do you know that? Why do you start to feel dizzy? Because the blood is not going in the right direction anymore. It doesn't, which way the blood flowing? Allah knows, you know? He's in that position for so long. And he says that the ruku' of the Prophet وسلم, was like his standing in qiyam. The same amount that he was standing was the same for his ruku'. Then after he stands, there's his ruku', he stands up again after that. And he starts making subhanahu rabbi, rabbana wa lakal hamd, hamdan kathiran. The Prophet starts making tasbih after tasbih, dhikr after dhikr, ibadah after ibadah. And Huzaifa radiallahu anhu says that that was as long as his qiyam too. And then he goes for sujood. The Prophet goes to sajda. When he goes to sajda, he says that sajda was as long as his standing. If you want to know where the blood goes to your sajda, it goes straight to your head. You're not going to move. It becomes very difficult. But you enjoy that sajda. I'm telling you, the blood needs to sometimes flow on the head sometimes, you know? And when you go on sajda for a long time, you start to enjoy the sajda. Because there's something with the body. This is the only position in all of existence that the heart is higher than the head. And sajda is the only position in all of existence that the heart is above the head. Where I finally put my love of Allah before over my head, my mind. Allah, I love you, and I'll be in this position for as long as you like, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Sajda. Then he sits up, the same length as his qiyam. Then he goes around with sajda again. The whole thing, the whole one rakat, if you were to count it, Surah Al-Nisa is about 5 Jews or so. 5 Jews in standing. 5 Jews in ruku'ah. 5 Jews in standing again. 5 Jews in sajda. 5 Jews in sitting. 5 Jews in another sajda. 5 times 6 positions, right? 5 times 6 positions is 30 Jews. As if one rak'ah of the Prophet was an entire khatam of the Quran. Subhanallah. Then Huzaifa radiallahu anhu hears the Prophet gets up and he starts the next surah. He's like, I can't do this. And he goes and leaves. This is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He left this as a reminder to his ummah because he wasn't doing this for any sins he committed. He didn't do this because of the guna that he made, a mistake that he made. When Aisha radiallahu anhu saw this difficulty, the Prophet put on himself and said, Ya Rasulullah, why do you do this? You know, why do you do this? Why does your feet hurt? Why is it that your feet start to swell? Why do you go through so much difficulty, Ya Rasulullah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Afala yakunu 'abdan shakura shay'an li yabghi to Allah." If you ask what is the purpose of Ramadan, there's two purposes. Number one is that I have to tell myself that I'm a sinner and I need taqwa. Second thing is that I'm ungrateful to Allah, I need to be grateful. That one day of not eating today, how hungry do you feel? And remind yourself, if this is the case for me, this one day of a voluntary, intentional, my choice fast, there are people in the world like Uyghur Muslims, Rohingya Muslims, Syrian Muslims, Muslims in Bosnia, Ukrainian issue that we have today. There are people that are legitimately starving and going through hunger every day of the year. And they have no one to give them money, no one to provide for them. And I have all this money I'm sitting on in my accounts and I don't give them anything. SubhanAllah, I get to eat comfortably every day of the year. Should I not just say Alhamdulillah? The Prophet said, I worship Allah so I can become a grateful slave. Afala akuna abdan shakura shana be a grateful slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Prophet would do so. That's why you do his ibadah. The Prophet would do this amazing thing. And you tell Aisha radhiyallahu anha one time when Aisha radhiyallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, make a dua for me. And the Rasul said, Allah fili Aisha. Ma qaddamat min dhunubiha wa ma ta'akhkharat. Right? Whatever sin she committed from her life, whatever came before, whatever came after, whatever, وَمَا أَعْلَنَتْ وَمَا أَصَرَّتْ, whatever she made open, whatever she made secret, every sin, Ya Allah, وَمَا كَبُرَتْ وَمَا صَغُرَتْ, whatever big sin or small sin Aisha radhiyallahu anha committed, Ya Allah, forgive her for all these sins. Aisha radhiyallahu anha becomes so happy, it's hadith of Bazaar. She becomes so happy, she laughs into the lap of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, oh Aisha, would you like to know something nice? Ya Rasulullah, what is it? What is the nice thing you want me to know? I make this dua for my ummah and every single salah that I make. This is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you and I can't make one dua for the ummah. You and I cannot say one salawat to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jummah should be full of salawat to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These Ramadans that you get, the Jummahs are the most blessed of Ramadans. Because those salawat are like fard salawat. You're not going to get that any time of the year. Those salawat you send to the Prophet are so special. This is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He left it for his ummah. He left this for his sahaba. His sahaba then continued to do what he used to do. And they used to copy him. And then you find that the sahaba also recite so long surahs. What was Uthman radiallahu anhu's daily practice in Fajr Salah? Daily practice in Fajr Salah. They said that Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, he used to recite in Fajr Salah, Surah to Yusuf. Yusuf is 13 pages. And for you 1300 guys, I have no idea. It's like 18 pages. You'll be there for a long time, right? Surah Yusuf is like the panic surah. You know, if you don't know how it is to read Tarawih, you guys don't know, most of you guys. If you do, mashallah, I recommend just try. Memorize like 29 Jews, some surah, and just try to read. You see, like, there's no shaitan in Ramadan, but it feels like there's a shaitan there, I swear. Right? You just be like, what's happening to my brain? Everything shuts down. Even when you start to practice and prepare for Ramadan, apparently also you start to forget too. It's a deep type of experience you have. Ideal experience, right? What was I saying? Surah Yusuf. Surah Yusuf is that panic surah. Every ayah resembles another part of the surah. Right? There were two halves of Surah Yusuf. One half is in 12 Jews, the other half is in 13 Jews. The funny part is the 12 Jews part resembles the 13 resembles the 12. So you're jumping all over the place whenever you recite. Somebody won't be able to follow along in the Taraweeh. But you're like, wow, Moses is reciting really nicely. He jumped like 15 different times. You didn't even know. Like, why is the rakah going for like 20 minutes? It's because he doesn't know where he is right now. You know? SubhanAllah, there was one, mashallah, one, I used to live with this one kid. His name was Hafiz Wakil. Hafiz Wakil, extraordinary Hafiz. He did so many doors of the Quran. Door of the Quran, you would do, usually you get your certificate. In general, Madaris, you get it after doing one khatam, right? One sitting. You finish the khatam of the Quran, that one sitting. He did 15 to 20 of those one sittings. SubhanAllah. And so his memory was exceptional. He'd fall asleep while reciting and he'd still be reciting. He would finish juz after juz while asleep. Then the teacher would slap him, wake him up, and then he'd say, "Where are you?" He'd say, "I don't know, Azad." And so, you know, SubhanAllah, like he would not look at the, you know, this, my mother, you guys look at the Quran, always read the Quran, never close the book, okay? This is something Allah gives you. So, and what is it, what are we talking about here? He'll say, don't correct me, don't touch me during Ramadan, don't give me any laqas, I'm just going to read, okay? He'll finish everything. If you stop, if you keep him there, he's going to finish everything. So he doesn't make any mistakes, flawless. He doesn't even want the Quran anymore. This guy, SubhanAllah, like, it's just all in his brain. He goes up there, he leads. The whole, like, 15, 20 days have been smooth. Very relaxed. I've been leading with this guy for so long. Relaxed prayers, mashallah. I've been enjoying it. He's not making any mistakes. He's perfect, no? And then one day, he just messes up. Because this is Allah's book, right? Not a human book. You have to mess up. Right? It's just going to be a rule. He messes up. He goes to 12 Jews. Then he goes to 18 Jews. Then he goes to 27 Jews. And he goes to 30 Jews. And he comes, and then he does it, and then he starts to realize, oh wait, there's something wrong here. And then he goes to Ruku'ah, and he's like, he has to recover. He finishes the Salah, and he goes and asks, he says, where was I? You know, SubhanAllah. So there was one Hafiz of the Quran that, mashallah, his entire Ramadan was perfect, flawless. And then he finds when he reaches Falak al-Nas, he starts to mess up. And this is the thing, it's Allah of his book, he will make mistakes. People often, they say, yeah, Mawlana, I can't read fast. I can't read slow. The condition to enter Ramadan wasn't if you read fast or slow, it was to just read. I just want to read. You don't even need to love reading. I just want to read because I know it's important. And if you just want to read, Allah will make you love to read. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who recites fluently and beautifully with tajweed and exceptionality, he's beautiful when he recites. The Prophet ﷺ said, he'll be with the high level angels that write down wahi revelation coming down. This is his status within Jannah, SubhanAllah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, and the one who has difficulty reciting, he stutters. He stutters when he recites a word. He keeps saying, kufu'an, kufu'an, kufu'un, kufu'an, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, right? These kids are practicing the Adhan today, right? They couldn't even do the wak. They keep saying wak. You know, like, you can't recite properly. You keep going back, right? I know you guys have, I have this experience too, and I used to start reading in the beginning. That every time I try to finish an ayah, I have to keep going back because I just have to reset because I didn't read it properly. And you keep going back and back and back, and then finally you get the word and you keep going. The Prophet said, if you struggle and you read 0.5 speed, your speed is slower than everyone, Allah will give you double ajr. That way you get the reward of a person reading normal speed. This is the reward of Allah that I give you. So mashallah, you know, you recite Quran, you recite Quran, Surah Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu recites Surah Yusuf every Fajr, mashallah. So what do you find? Yeah, Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to top him. Instead of reciting Surah Yusuf, he recited Surah Taha every Fajr. His regular habit was Surah Taha in one rakat, Surah Yusuf in the second rakat. And you think that's impressive? And so what do you find? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we pray at the end of the time, the end of the waqt. Normally Fajr time, it is mustahab in our madhab to pray at the end of the time. We pray when the sun is, you know, basically yellowish in the world. This is the time that the Prophet said, "Asiru bil fajri bi nu'adam lil ajri." The Prophet said, to delay the Fajr time, may pray near the end because it is increasing in the reward. You get more reward for doing so. Hadith of Tirmidhi, authentic hadith. The Prophet said this, so we encourage everyone. But how does Sahaba pray? Sahaba started at the beginning of Fajr time and he finished at the end of Fajr time. So because how could you recite Surah Yusuf? Surah Yusuf is a long surah. How could you recite Surah Taha? It's a long surah. How could you recite Surah Yusuf? You know, Surah Yusuf and Taha, it's a long surah. What did Abu Bakr then do? He used to start with Baqarah. Surah Baqarah, he would make khatamah. Imam Tahawi brings the hadith. He used to recite Baqarah from the beginning and he would recite so long, 2 hours would go by. And finally when he finished, they would say, Abu Bakr, we think the sun came up. We think the sun came up because he's been praying for so long. And Abu Bakr says, if the sun came up, you'll see that we were not negligent of Allah. We're not ghafil of Allah. If the sun came up, it will give shahada under the judgment that we were people that were worshiping Allah properly. SubhanAllah, this is how the Sahaba radiallahu anhu were. This effort and this feeling passed on to the next generation. Imam Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah. These amazing people, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, every day in Ramadan, he's like one khatam. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahimahullah, the one who the Hanbali madhab is attributed to, he used to make one khatam every day in Ramadan. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala used to do 40 khatams. He was someone who was a master of hadith. Master of hadith. He would have one dars every day of hadith and one dars of fiqh. And he would teach hadith every day, diligently, with so much dedication. One time Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala was in the dars, and he was teaching the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No, Imam Shafi used to say, we used to be so scared to flip the page too hard because we didn't want to offend our teacher, Imam Malik. We were so careful to even flip the page. You know, it's like Mawlana Osman status, you know, you don't do nothing from that guy. You know, he didn't flip the page. He said, we didn't want to drink water in front of Imam Malik because we're so scared he would get angry at us. They would be very careful in front of him. So Imam Malik, one time they saw him, and he was like moving and, you know, literally, he was a little agitated. And he was just kept, his face was turning different colors. And he was sweating very heavily. And the students kept reading. And then they didn't bother asking, so they didn't want to disturb Imam Malik. They waited till the hadith dars was over. And then they said, Hazrat, are you okay, Imam? Are you okay? He said, please check my back. And they find that there's a scorpion on his back. It stung him 15 to 17 times. And they said, Imam Malik, you could have told us. We would have gone out and taken care of a scorpion. He said, I do not want to disrespect the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This type of man, he says, in Ramadan, there's no time for hadith, only Quran. So he used to do 40 khatams in Ramadan. 40 khatams in Ramadan. What if Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala? Imam Shafi rahimahullah would do 60 khatams in Ramadan. What if Imam Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala? That in the month of Ramadan, 61 khatams. One khatam in the morning, one khatam in the evening. You can do it. I know you're thinking, how? Awesome. You just said, yata ta'ata'u fi amda yata ta'ata'u. I'm the stuttering guy. I don't know. You make intention, inshallah. I want to read Quran. I love to read Quran. And mashallah, you see what Allah will do with you. The ones who love Quran, the qadahu ila al-jannah, the Prophet says, if you love Quran, it will direct you, connect you to Jannah. We need to, inshallah ta'ala, open our Qurans. I give you this because why? Because I can do one khatam. I can do two khatams. I can do it. I can make the time. I can make the effort. I just have to want. The niyyah of wanting is all you need in Ramadan to complete what you want to complete. I want to do this. I want to fast. I want to read Quran. So now you open the Quran every morning. You read what you need to read to. You read every evening. You do what you need to need. What you need to. Sisters wonder because of the fact that they have their monthly cycles within Ramadan. How do I complete my khatam? So all you have to do is you increase on other days. You double up on it. If a sister knows she has 3 days or 5 days or 7 days or even 10 days, so all she has to do on the other days, she recites a little bit more. And that way she can finish it. What she should do on those days that she is still on her cycle, she can listen to Quran. Many of us, mashallah, many brothers, subhanAllah, by driving to work every day and back, they've done khatamat of the Quran. Many people have khatams of the Quran because of the fact they were doing so, going back and forth. People will tell you, they'll say, there's no reward. And why would you read the Quran without understanding it? People always do this. They say, well, you know, how are you going to get a reward of the Quran without understanding it? Do you know Alif Lam Mim means? Anyone? Surah Quran, Alif Lam Mim? Anybody? Anyone here? Anybody? Mashallah, this guy is half, he knows? Alif Lam Mim, what does it mean? No one knows. You get a reward for reading Alif Lam Mim? Yes, of course you do. The Prophet gave us an example. He said that Alif is a harfun, Lamun harfun, Mimun harfun. Alif is a harf, Lam is a harf, Mim is a harf. For each one of these letters, you get 10 rewards each. 30 rewards you get. Even if you don't understand, you get reward. Okay, this is not the time to tell myself, like, there's only so much. I'm not saying not to understand, but make it one of the goals to complete a sermon of khatams in Ramadan. And then another goal should be, I should understand the Quran. I should understand the message. I should understand what Allah is telling me. I should make it a regular habit of mine, inshallah ta'ala. I should make that routine, inshallah. Just 5 minutes, inshallah, and I'll let you all go. Jazakallah for entertaining me today. You've all made this a very wonderful, enjoyable halaqah for me. Jazakallah. Okay. I have plenty more stories to tell you, a lot of different other things, inshallah. Not enough time, of course. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he encouraged and he told us, look, just recite the Quran, but make tadabbur of the Quran too. Understand the Quran, reflect on the Quran. Think about what the Quranic message is. There are a lot of good books you can use. You know, Imam Nawawi's book on the etiquettes of the ones who handle the Quran or bear the Quran. Adab Hamalat al-Quran in Arabic, I can't remember the English translation of etiquettes of handling the Quran, has been translated by Imam Nawawi rahimahullah in English. It will tell you all the rewards for reading the Quran the etiquettes that go along with reading the Quran as well. What else do we find? That there's a hadith, there's a book, mashallah, I remember one of these early books I read, Khalid Baig, listening to the Quran. listening to the Quran. Exceptional book, mashallah. It is a book that he just brings out certain ayahs of the Quran and just tells you his reflection of them. Right? You can pick up very small tafsirs. Everyone gets overwhelmed by tafsirs. They go and say that I don't want to read Ibn Kathir. There's like 10 volumes here. I'm not going to finish that in Ramadan. Okay, don't do that. You pick up Quran Made Easy over here. Quran Made Easy, mashallah, it's just regular Quran. But he gives you commentary in between. Mufti Taqi Ismail's translation of Quran has commentary underneath as well. And if you want to pick up big guns, you pick up Ma'arif al-Quran. If you read Ma'arif al-Quran from cover to cover, you'd be Maulana Sabatian. I'm telling you, you can get Bayan better than me. Because why? Because of the fact that this book is exceptional. He wrote this for general people, and ulama use it for reference. Okay? He wrote it for general people to read. That's what people are there for, Ma'arif al-Quran. Read this, inshallah, benefit yourself, study, inshallah. When you have a question, go to the ulama, they'll answer your questions for you. Because Quran is a book that will never end. You start reading it, and you'll never stop. And you'll be like, wow, this ayah can mean this, this ayah can mean this, this ayah can mean this. So many possibilities, so many interpretations, so many things that the Quran will tell you. So we should spend some time with that as well. Along with reading Quran, we should be making dua regularly, daily. Right? Make some dua. If you want your heart to soften in front of Allah Ta'ala, you make dua. Dua is where you soften your heart. Even if in the beginning, you don't cry. People are like, the objective of Ramadan, the objective of dua is to cry. It's not the objective. The objective of dua is to raise your hands. Just raise your hands and ask. Even if you're not crying, you're making that face. You know, you ever look around during Taraweeh time, the Khatm Dua time? Everyone just, nothing coming out. Everyone fake. Allah forgive us how fake we are. I'm in the front. I'm just messing around. See, that's how you know I was messing around. It's like Adam Walls of Seed, you know? The Prophet says, if you can't cry, then fake crying. The Prophet says, if you can't make it, then fake it. Because Allah, that even mashallah, you accept fake. One kid, subhanAllah, in our class, he was fasting, and everyone was accusing him of not fasting. They say he's lying about his fasting. And he's like, no, he said, Wallahi, I'm fasting. I haven't eaten. He brought a snack into class. He didn't eat the snack, but you know, he brought the snack. Why do you bring the snack, right? Everyone's just like, hey, man. I'm like, no. And they're like, well, what's the point? I said, there is a point. Because Allah even sometimes accepts fake, you know? SubhanAllah, you know, like, just because I was there. You know, Arafah is the day that I feel the most fakest person. You know Arafah day? I felt like the most fakest person there. The people there are real people. They're making dua and they're crying. I'm like, ya Allah, I'm a fake guy. But ya Allah, if I'm with this bundle, you know, you buy a bundle or something, sometimes you get certain things in a bundle where they're not so good. Right? The bundle isn't so great. So I'm part of that bundle, ya Allah. Just accept me too. You know, I'm in the Taraweeh. I'm making dua. Ya Allah, I'm part of the bundle. Ihdinas siratal, Allah, guide us all to the straight path. Siratal ladhi an'amta alayhim. The ones that you have favored. I'm not part of them, ya Allah, but I'm with them. I'm here. Ya Rabbil Alameen. We make dua every day, inshallah, in Ramadan. You have some time for zikr every day. Start doing La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. And focus on your heart. Ya Allah, this heart is dead. Ya Allah, I want you to revive this heart. I want you to purify this heart. I want you to clean this heart. And the only way I can get clean is by doing zikr of La ilaha illallah regularly. 100 times every day, inshallah, within the month of Ramadan. And whatever time else you get, inshallah, do that, inshallah ta'ala. If you stand for Taraweeh, you stand for the entire thing. Don't tell yourself you'll sit down. Because that nafs that you have, the desires that you have, the only thing that's stopping you from seeing Allah ta'ala in your salah is the desires that we have, the nafs that's before us. If you can kill this nafs, you can destroy this nafs, you'll see Allah ta'ala in your prayers. Ma'a Rumi rahimahullah says, close your eyes, close your ears, close your mouth, close everything that you have connection to the dunya. He said, and don't tell me you won't see the nur of Allah in your heart. If you close yourself to the dunya, you will see Allah Ta'ala's light. And so we need to do this, inshallah. So you stand and you force yourself to stand, no matter how long it is. Okay, mashallah, it's going to be a little easier. Two rakats will be much easier this time. I promise you. Okay, maybe we'll do half just to test them, right? Half yourself in the beginning, we'll just test everyone out first to see who stands in the beginning and then who leaves, you know? Mashallah. You will stand for the Taraweeh, inshallah Ta'ala. And then one of the most important things is that you give sadaqah. The Prophet was exceptionally generous. But in the Ramadan, he was like rihun mursala. He was like a wind that was just blowing and just giving good wherever he went. So people will come. People will ask for fundraisers. People ask for donations. You make sure that every single time someone comes, ya Allah, the same I'm giving this beggar and he comes to your door. If he came to my door and I gave him, ya Allah, I'm coming to your door. Don't let me go away. Let me make sure I take something. Give me something. Ya Rabbi. Anyone comes. Make it an intention, I will give something. You know, it should be, inshallah, something's in my pocket that I can give, inshallah. People do this, why? They do this, like, mashallah, this technical stuff now. Guess what? They put in money in the beginning of the month, and then they take it out throughout the month, right? They just, what is it, like, automatic sadaqah, right? Automatic donations, which is good. I'm not knocking it. I'm not denying it, mashallah, you want to do that. But what's better, right? The one who just puts automatic and goes to sleep every day, or the one that actually, every time he makes it a point, part of his day is a schedule, that I will go out and give some sadaqah. Who's better? The second person. So making sure that we give sadaqah in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to make sure that in the month of Ramadan, we do not forget any of the Muslims all over the world. There's so many Muslims that need help, that need du'as. The Uyghur Muslims have still been suffering for so long, and the Syrian Muslims have been suffering. So many Muslims in the world, Yemeni Muslims, et cetera, et cetera. There's so many Muslims that you know that I don't know, and we need to make sure that we're helping them in some way. Okay, if everyone, you know, mashallah, you all know from being in this community for so long, I always have ways to get to money to where we need to get it to. And if you want to give, inshallah, we're more than happy to be the person to get it there. Because why? Because we want this ajr too, right? And then we make dua and you clean your heart. In the month of Ramadan, clean your heart fully. وَنَفْسِنُ مَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَا فُجُورَ وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Successful is the one who purifies his soul. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّهَا. Wretched is the one who destroys his soul. You have to make dua, Allah, purify this heart, because I don't want to live another day in this life that I feel bad to not, you know, that I feel okay that I miss Fajr. People legitimately wake up in the morning. Imagine the 8 o'clock alarm goes off. They don't even feel bad they miss Fajr. How bad are we? I got it, inshallah. Light's going off. We got it, inshallah. May Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. May Allah allow us that we benefit from Ramadan. May Allah that we profit tremendously from it. May Allah allow us to go in the right intention. May Allah allow that in the month, this month of Ramadan, our hearts become pure. May Allah grant us that in this month of Ramadan, Allah grant us that if we have Muslim brothers and sisters in the graves, Ya Rahman Rahim, we ask you, Ya Rabbana, in the month of Ramadan, that you lift them from the adab al-qabr and put them in a garden from the gardens of Jannah. Ya Rahman Rahim, we ask you, Ya Allah, for our children, our grandchildren, and our families, and our progeny, Ya Allah. We ask you for our parents, Ya Allah. We ask you for our grandparents, Ya Allah. We ask for all the Muslims of the world, Ya Allah. Ya Rahman Rahim, we will be able to eat and fast in this month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. There are Muslims in the world that don't have food, Ya Allah. They don't have anything to eat, Ya Allah. They have no clothing, Ya Allah. They have nothing, Ya Rahman Rahimin. We ask you, Allah, for them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah, expand for them and give them, Ya Allah, from your treasure, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we go to everyone in the world, Ya Allah. Everyone turns away, Ya Allah. Everyone will turn away one day, Ya Allah. Everyone will leave us in our graves, Ya Allah. The only way we can go to, Ya Allah, is you, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah, connect our hearts to you, Ya Allah. Allah, connect our hearts to you, Ya Allah. Let us love you in the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Let us love you after the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Allah, please, Ya Rahman, Ya Allah, our preparation to be ready, Ya Allah. Allah, us to be ready for the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Allah, us, Ya Rahman, Rahimin, to never get angry in the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Allah, us to be very cool and calm and collected in the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Allah, let us not lose a single ajr, Ya Allah, by talking about other people, Ya Rahman, Rahimin. Protect our tongues, Ya Allah. Protect our hearts, Ya Allah. Protect our eyes, Ya Allah. Protect our ears, Ya Allah. Allah, so many haram things we saw with our eyes, Ya Allah. So many haram things we heard with our ears, Ya Allah. So many haram things we said with our tongues, Ya Allah. So many bad things we bought with our hands, Ya Allah. Allah, Rahimin, body is covered head to toe in sins, Ya Allah. If you don't forgive, Ya Allah, who will forgive, Ya Allah? Ya Rahman Rahim, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to forgive all of us, Ya Rahman Rahim, all of the world, Ya Allah, from the Muslims in the time of Adam alayhi salam, Ya Rabbil Alameen, forgive all the Muslims, Ya Rahman Rahim. Ya Allah, we ask, Ya Allah, all the Muslims to come, Ya Allah, and make their life easier, Ya Rahman Rahim. Ya Allah, grant them all Jannah al-Firdaws, and us Jannah al-Firdaws, and those who passed away Jannah al-Firdaws, with Habib Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, for those who fast in this day, Ya Allah, accept their fast, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, accept all the brothers and sisters who fast in the month of Sha'ban, Ya Allah. Accept all the hasanat and sadaqat to be done in this month, Ya Allah. Allah, so love the Quran, Ya Allah. May the Quran guide us to Jannah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we ask you for the best, Ya Allah, in this life and the after, Ya Rabbana Ameen. Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun. As-salamu ala al-mursaleen. Everyone's welcome to come to the back, inshallah. We have iftar preparations, inshallah, for everyone. If you'd like to break your fast there as well. And if you'd just like to come and eat something, you're more than welcome to join the dasturkhan, right? The sufras of sufra baraka, inshallah. Adhan will be done in a couple of minutes, inshallah. We should spend the rest of the time in dua, inshallah. Oh.